Grace to you and peace from the one who creates all things and sustains all things. Amen. The lessons today are all about choices. We live in a society where we believe that choices and the freedom of choice defines who we are. Think about it. We choose our president, if you completely ignore the Electoral College. We make choices every day about all kinds of things. And not only are we in love with the ability to make choices, we want an unlimited bunch of choices from which to choose. It's not enough just to have one or two or three or four choices. I use as my illustration and evidence the evolvement of the McDonald's menu. When I was a wee lad, you would go into McDonald's and there was one board. You could get a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese, a cheeseburger, a hamburger, large, medium, and small fries, and that was it. Well, fish sandwich, thank you. I would not have considered that a personal choice. Now, when you walk into McDonald's, you are assaulted by not one, but eight full boards of choices. You can actually get a double quarter pounder with cheese, milk, and a salad. What is wrong with the world? You can have your choice of crispy fried chicken, grilled chicken, poached chicken, chicken a la whatever, all on a sandwich with your choice of sides. There's so many that now it's not a number one, a number two, or a three meal. You can order a number 16, whatever that is. We have created a world in which we want all kinds of choices that meet every need. In our first reading in Joshua, the people are asked to choose. They have come with Moses across the great desert. They have been freed from slavery. They have walked all the way into the land of the Amorites where they have settled, and some of them have married among the Amorites. And Joshua calls all of the people together, all of the leaders, all of the rabbis, everyone together, and says to them, the Lord God, you must revere that Lord. To serve God in sincerity and faithfulness, and to put away the gods of your ancestors, whom you served beyond the river. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then today you must choose. You must make a choice. Whether you will serve the gods of old that you served back in the days across the river, or to serve the gods among the Amorites, the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, as I look at this McDonald's menu in front of me, I will choose the Lord. I will choose the Lord who brought us out of slavery in the land of Egypt, who did great signs in our sight, who protected us along the way as we went. I will choose the God who protected us from among all the people. That doesn't sound like he's giving them all that much of a choice, does it? The Lord who drove us out from all of the peoples. I will serve the Lord. As the people hear this story, as they are confronted with this choice, they, of course, say, we too will follow the Lord. A choice. in our gospel lesson from the Gospel of John, Jesus says to the people, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. And just as God sent me, so God will send you." And some of the people who heard him say, "If you believe in me, you will eat my flesh and drink my blood," found it, it says in Scripture, to be a hard saying. It's a great word. The word is scleroma. And it describes, it's the same word that's used to describe the hard-packed, baked earth of the desert. Almost impenetrable. We use the word when we talk about arterial sclerosis, hardening of the arteries. So they found this word to be impenetrable. And it says in the gospel, some of them found it so hard that they no longer went about with him anymore. They just couldn't agree. And so they left. It does not say in the Gospel of John that Jesus immediately formed a committee to get them back. There was no peer review committee. There was no council going to Jesus and saying, "How could you have let them go? This is your fault." Instead, Jesus turns to the rest of the disciples and says, "What about you? You have heard this word. Unless you eat me, you will not be saved. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood and abide in me. I will always abide in you. What do you say?" And Peter, speaking on behalf of the 12, turns to him and says this incredible hymn, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And we have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. We choose you. These stories about choice, I think, are powerful stories. And they have one thing in common. In these days where we'd like to believe that we should have all the choices in the world in our restaurants, all the choices in the world about our health insurance, all the choices in the world about what cars we drive, what churches we go to, what people we want to hang around with, whether or not we will follow Jesus. In all of these stories, what we have in common is not the people of Israel's choice to follow God or the disciples' choice to follow Jesus, but God's choice to call them and us God's own. That's the underneath of the story. That even if the people of Israel had said, "Well, we like these Amorite gods," it would not have changed God's pursuit of them. God still would have held on to God's part of the covenant and called them God's own. We see it again and again throughout the story of the Exodus, all the way into the Promised Land. They keep running away and God keeps saying, "Yo, I'm here. You are mine." And in the same way, no matter how we continue to reject Jesus, the ways in which we reject one another and are sinful and unclean, as it says in our confession, God chooses us. That's the difference. That while we may be free to choose other gods, God frees us by choosing us to be God's own. This last week, our national church made a choice. In that choice, we decided as the body of Christ called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, to adopt a policy that allows for the ordination and service of gay, lesbian, and transgendered people in lifelong committed monogamous relationships. Can you tell I've practiced? In other words, we as a church have, since our inception, said that gay, lesbian, and transgender people are able to serve as pastors of our church, but that because we did not have a way to have a bound relationship, a marriage, that they would need to remain celibate. By this action that we took this weekend, we have said that we need to find a way to hold publicly accountable and recognize people who are gay, lesbian, and transgendered, who want to be in lifelong monogamous relationships. We need to find a way to recognize that. Secondly, that we need to provide for the opportunity for those people who enter into those kind of relationships to serve as full partners in ministry and in the ordained ministry. Thirdly, we said we are going to disagree about this, but that in our disagreement, in this choice, we will continue to live together faithfully. In other words, one choice may or may not be better than the other, but it is always God's choice about us that will bind us together. That's a powerful word. That just because I choose a double quarter pounder and, for goodness sake, Paula joins or chooses a fish sandwich. That we love and are loved by the same God and are gathered into the same community. And finally, we have said that not everyone, and this is a tremendous departure in many ways from the history of our church policy, we have said that there is a local option and flexibility, which means that although in every other policy we have said that we as the Evangelical Church in America will act as one body, in this particular case, congregations and synods can say, we will not, or we choose not, to follow this policy. It's called, I've forgotten the exact word, but it's some kind of local flexibility thing. It's a way for us to continue to be together. And so we have made a choice, not one that was made easily. We have been studying this for many years. It has been a part of our discussion formally for over 7 years. But finally, our legislative body, the highest legislative body of our church, has made a choice. As we now begin to deal with the fallout of that choice and the joy of that choice, we have some work to do. I will tell you that as a leader of the church, when I heard this news, and I've been following it on the, we have a live feed of a meeting. You know, who knows? I was watching the live feed, and as they were doing a lot of testimony, and people were talking passionately, and then the thunder came, and the lightning, and the rain, and a tornado. In Minneapolis. And I remember thinking right at that point, half of the people are going to say, you see, God is passing judgment. We can't do this. And the other people are thinking, God is passing judgment on those people who say we can't do this. Well, what I was left with also, I certainly, for myself personally, and as a leader and a pastor of the church, I am overjoyed that in this case we have moved in the direction that we're moving. And I think that it is something that will be good for the church and good for the gospel and good for our mission. But at the same time, I am deeply grieved because I know that it will create a fracture among us. I promise you that within 4 to 6 weeks, several congregations will leave our synod and will leave our church. And I grieve that loss. That's the sadness that comes from the body of Christ being fractured. And in the same way, I'm sure that in a way, although Jesus did not chase over those who could not hear the hard word, Jesus' love for them was not diminished. And neither will our love be for those who depart. So in these days and weeks and years to come, I echo the words of our bishop, who reminds us to live together faithfully in prayer, to make God's choice for us the choice that we live by and through as God's people, and that we remain faithful to God's word in our mission and in our lives. And so with the people of Israel under Joshua, with the disciples of Jesus, we too are chosen. And as for us and our house, we choose God. Where else would we go? For God has the words of eternal life. Amen.